chapter 14. We'll be picking up in verse 66. If you have need of a Bible, you can just raise your hand. One will be handed to you so you can follow along. Well, I survived a successful week with my nephews in town. And they got back home alive. So it's a good holiday. It was such a good time. I tell you, it's just great. More and more I am thankful for the family that God has given to me and just the time that we get to spend together. I know many of us are so busy and going in so many different directions, we don't get that time with our families, but when we do, it is such a blessing. Mark chapter 14, again verse 66, if you want to bookmark 1 Peter chapter 1, we're also going to make our way over there. I'm going to ask you a question. Has ever happened in your life where there's been a time or a situation or something you said that you'd like to take back? All of us, right? There's all these times when we look back in our past and we say, man, I wish I could do that again. I wish I had another opportunity to make that work. Or I wish I could go back to the days when maybe life was easier and life was simpler. Guys, as much as we want it and as much as we try, we can't take it back. Life is what it is. And actually, a lot of what has happened in your life and in my life makes us the people that we are today. So we must embrace those experiences. We must embrace those opportunities. You know, sometimes we wish we could go back. Sometimes we wish we could go back and just have that conversation again. Get that text message back or that email message back that we sent. That conversation that we had with now an ex-friend. We'd love to be able to take it back, but we can't. It cannot go back. What has happened has happened. The great thing about being a believer is that even the mistakes that we make that we would love to take back, many times God covers over. Many times God uses that situation and turns it into a blessing. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful that God looks at my life and says, there's a few bumpy places along the way, and I'm going to cover over those. I'm going to forget about those, and I'm going to make it better. And so it's those opportunities as a believer that we can go, God, thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for that forgiveness that you give to us constantly. And we have to embrace the forgiveness of Christ. If we hold it in, if we hold that depression or that discouragement or a failure or a mistake that we've made, if we hold that, we're doing it against God's will. God doesn't want us to hold those things. The Bible says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And to truly be giving those things over to God. I can remember several situations in my life where they were difficult, they were hard times. I was certainly crying out to God saying, help me, help me. But it was during those times that I just felt the presence and the peace of God. And when you know the peace of God, when you know that peace that surpasses understanding, you are so very, very thankful. And that's what we're going to see in this next area of chapter 14. It's the time where Peter denies the Lord three times. And I would think you would agree with me. I bet Peter would have loved to take it back. I imagine Peter would love to say, can I just do that again? Can I erase that night? And the interesting thing about this, unfortunately for Peter, is it's recorded in every single gospel. Written down for us to read every time we go through any of the gospels. Aren't you glad there isn't a book written with all your mistakes? Man, how many volumes would it be? But for Peter, it's written down. But here, I want to just encourage us all in this. It's written down for me. It's written down for you. It's written down so that we can see that, yes, believers make mistakes. Yes, believers do things that they don't want to do, right? As Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. So it's these kind of things, it's these types of stories that we read it and we go, oh, poor Peter. But in a minute, I'm going to remind you, Peter is a great example for all of us. That in those times when we deny Christ, in those times when we fall woefully short, in those times when we look back and go, man, I just want to take that back. That we can feel the presence of God and we can go, all right, God took care of it. Taking it back. It's something that we want to do. I found this interesting saying, and it says this: have you ever wondered which hurts most, saying something and wishing you had not, or saying nothing and wishing you had? Which hurts more? There's probably many of us in this room going, man, I wish I had just said I love you to my lost loved one more time. Wow, I wish I had just spent one more moment with that person before they moved away. What? It's always the things that we didn't do that we regret more than the things that we have done. Because even in Peter's life, in my opinion, at least he did something. At least he stepped out of the boat. At least he tried to do something. At least he was trying to be there for them. Yes, this particular example failed woefully. But we all have. We've all failed. But God's grace is always there. So look with me, if you will, Mark chapter 14, verse 66. We'll read all the way to the end of the chapter. It says, now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servants' girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also are with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he had thought about it, he wept. Again, certainly a sad story for Peter. Certainly we would have hoped that Peter would have been that strong believer that he confessed to a couple days before, saying to Jesus, I will never deny, I will die with you, I'll do those things. See, the thing is with Peter, he thought a lot in his head, but he never really felt with his heart, at least before the Holy Spirit came in his life. Peter was always like, yes, Lord, I'm always going to be there for you. And many of us in this room have said the same thing. Oh, Lord, I'm never going to let you down. I'll never disappoint you. Or how many times have we said, Lord, this is the last time I'm going to do that. And then a day later, oh, Lord, this is the last time I'm going to do that. See, we all deny the Lord in some ways. We all disappoint Christ. But the great thing about it is, are we pressing ourselves into the Lord? Are we coming to him, back to him constantly? Or are we drifting away? See, Peter's first problem was, back in verse 54, look what it says, because this is how Mark does things. In verse 54 of the same chapter, but Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. We talked about it when we saw that verse last time. It was the distance that Peter had between him and the Lord. Yes, it was a physical distance, but for you and I, it's a spiritual distance, isn't it? It's a distance that we put between us and the Lord. That, Lord, I don't need your help today. Lord, I don't need to be that close to you today. I can do this on my own. And I find in my life, when I start to think I can do it on my own, that's where I trip up. That's where I mess up. If I forget to do my devotion, if I forget to spend time with the Lord, if I'm not focusing on him or hanging around people who love God and who encourage me in my faith, that's when I begin to distance myself. That's when I begin to fail. That's when I forget to be a witness for Christ, because my faith has grown a bit cold. Have you experienced this in your life? Do you feel like your faith is a little bit cold? The beautiful thing is for Peter here, yes, he failed miserably. But the next chapter, Jesus is going to be there with open arms, embracing Peter. And that's what we have to remember, that if we don't let ourselves stay in the place of separation and distance from the Lord, guess what? We can get right back with him. We don't have to worry about taking it back because we're right there listening to the Lord. Peter's first problem was that he had distance between he and God. And we can't have distance, my friends. The reason a church exists, the reason that there's different opportunities to come together and fellowship together is so that we stay close to the Lord. Over Thanksgiving, we do this thing at Thanksgiving where my wife comes up with a few questions and we hand them out to my nephews and the people that we were with, and we answer the questions. And one of the things my nephew said is that he wanted to be closer in his relationship to the Holy Spirit. Wow. To hear he's a 15-year-old boy say he wants to have a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. Wow, is that a blessing? But the beautiful thing is, if that's a true, genuine desire of his heart, guess what? He will have a stronger relationship with the Holy Spirit if he takes the steps to embrace that. And that's the thing. Many of us want it up here, but we don't want it here. We don't take the steps, the actions, to grow closer to God. And listen, I'm not saying you got to attend a lot of events. But I'm saying put yourself in a place where you're growing in the Lord. Put yourself in an atmosphere where you're seeking after God, because God's word says, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. That is a promise. And we sang it. We believe your promises, Lord. We believe your promise. And if his promise is, you seek me, you will find me, then that's our job to seek. It's our job to seek, to be looking for God. Where are you seeking after the Lord? Some of us in this room are going, oh, so busy. I got to be to work early. I work late. Listen, you got to steal time. You got to steal time to be with God. And I'm telling you, if it has to be in your car ride to the office or to school, and you just start praying, saying, God, what do you want to do with my life today? If you're putting it in the forefront of your mind, guess what? He'll be there. The problem is we put God on the back burner. We put him in the back of our minds, and we don't think about him until we really, really need him. And then, boy, get everybody at the church praying. That's why I love people who go into situations in their lives and they're not ashamed to reach out. Say, hey, could you be praying? Like Suzelle, can you be praying for Haiti? And I know her heart. Her heart isn't, hey, let's make sure those Christmas boxes get to the kids. No, she wants the kids to be blessed on Christmas. But her first thing was pray for Haiti. Pray for revival. Pray for things to happen here in Haiti because things need to change. That's her heart. And so it's our job to reach out and to ask, because, hey, she's a Spirit-filled believer. She can ask God all by herself. She can pray, but she's always, always, always reaching out for others to help. That is not, my friends, that is not a weakness. I find that to be a strength in the life of a believer. Because not single one of us in this room are perfect. Not one of us in this room are not dealing with something that we wish wasn't in our lives. Whether it's a thought life, whether it's the things that come out of your mouth, whether it's the actions, the anger that you get, whatever it is, there's something that you're dealing with that you want out of your life. And I call it replacement theology. That one thing you want out of your life needs to be replaced with something else. Whether that's prayer, whether that's just walking, going on a walk, talking to God, whatever it is, replace that attitude with a godly attitude. That's not easy, is it? No. I wish when I drive on a road that I wouldn't get angry first. I wish prayer was first. God bless that person who just cut me off. God bless that person who drove down the entire to merge in to slow me down a little bit longer. Those types of things. To really have a heart for the Lord first. Instead of going, God, I'm sorry I called that person that name. God, I'm sorry I had that thought about that person. And talk about taking something back. I can't remember the last time I was out at a mall on Good Friday. Oh, not Good Friday, yeah. On Black Friday. What were we thinking? My wife said, oh, doesn't everybody shop online? I go, yeah, sure. Place was a madhouse. I wouldn't suggest it. When we distance ourselves from God, that's when the natural man begins to come out. What kept Peter from being faithful to Jesus? Fear for his own life. Had he identified with Christ, he may have been on trial with him. And it is fear that keeps us from being faithful to God. Fear of the consequences, fear of the results, that if we take a stand for Jesus, what will the people at your workplace think of you if you took a stand for Christ and said, hey, I don't want to hear those types of jokes. Or I don't want to hear those kinds of conversations. Or maybe in college. Oh, yeah. Everybody doesn't believe in God in college, but you. Are you taking a stand? It's not easy. And Peter, of all people, Peter should have taken a stand for Christ. But it's fear. Peter's second problem is he's hanging around the wrong crowd. Right? He's warming himself by the fires of the world. He's hanging around the wrong crowd. And it's when we hang around people that are ungodly, guess what? They're probably going to affect us more than we're going to affect them. The psalmist says it this way. It says, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Peter was blending in. Peter was hanging out with the wrong crowd. And I can't encourage the young people in this room, be careful of the people you hang around. The older you get, maybe I'm not the only one, the more selective you get of the people that are in your life. When you're young, you want everybody to like you. Right now, I don't care if anybody likes me. I want good people around me. I want people that are encouraging me. I want people that are positive influence. And that's important in the days that we live. Peter wanted to seem like he was just one of the crowd. We can't blend in. We need to stand out. Do you know, as believers, we're supposed to be standing out? Can people look at your life and say, that person's different? That person's actions are different. That people, things that they say is different. Are we standing out as believers? Because at the end of our lives, we can't look back and say, man, I wish I had served the Lord more. I wish I had represented God more. Can't take it back at the end. And don't worry about your past. Focus on your future. What can you do today to rightly stand for Christ? That's the thing we have to be thinking about, because it just doesn't happen. We need to take the first steps. We need to put ourselves out there. We need to act differently. We need to change our culture instead of letting the culture influence us. And you might be sitting here, well, how can I change culture? One conversation at a time. One nice gesture at a time. Just do that. You know, at the end of verse 68, Mark's gospel is the only one that records the rooster crowing the first time. Mark's gospel is really kind of has been written from Peter's perspective. And I honestly believe Peter wants it in here. He wants us to know that there are usually opportunities for us to catch ourselves before we go too far. Because to me, right, I don't know about you, but when I read it the first time, I'm like, warning, warning, danger, danger. You know, it's like, do you remember anything that Jesus said to you about roosters crowing after the first denial? I believe there are opportunities in our lives before we get too far where God says, be careful. Be careful. Listen to the warning sign. That first rooster crow, Peter should have gone, what? Now, it was early in the morning. Roosters usually crow early in the morning, right? Unless you're in Haiti, they crow all day long. But so maybe it was natural. Maybe Peter's heard roosters crow in the morning all the time. It wasn't until the second rooster crowed that he began to remember. But I wonder how many opportunities God gives us to say, be careful, pay attention. We have to be in tune to hear the signs. How is God trying to get your attention? What roosters are crowing in your life right now where God's saying, stop having thoughts like that? He's trying to get our attention. You've heard me say it a million times. Affairs don't happen overnight. It happens over time. And if you're in this room today and you're a married man or a married woman, and you're entertaining thoughts of someone else, God's trying to warn you. Be careful. You think, well, we're just friends. We just get along so well. We just have a way of talking. Be careful. The enemy's crafty. Whatever it is that you find yourself going down that you know does not line up with the Word of God, God's trying to get your attention. And maybe this service is God's way of getting your attention. There are some of us in this room that got to say, God, I want this to stop. God, I want this to stop. He will help you. The rooster crowed, but it didn't get Peter's attention. In verse 69, and the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, which other Gospels say about an hour later, those who stood by him said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean, and your speech shows it." Now, we all know Peter likes to talk a lot, right? So his speech showed who he was. The things that were coming out of his mouth, and I don't think it was his dialect, I think it was just his conversation. I think as much as Peter wanted to disassociate with Jesus, I'm thinking the things that he was saying was identifying with Christ. I believe that his speech was saying things like, "But Jesus is an innocent man, why is he being accused?" I think it was the things that he was saying. I think there's things that are happening in the story that we don't see, that Peter was trying. Again, does our character and does our speech reflect Christ? The world is watching you if you're a believer. They're watching what you're saying. They're watching what you're doing. And in these days, with social media, they see it all over the world. If I pulled up your social media account, would I say, "Wow, this is a strong believer"? Which I never really liked that term anyway, because I don't know how you substantiate that, strong believer. But if I looked at your account, would you go, "That's a strong believer in Christ. That's someone who loves the Lord"? Would it look different? Because I believe Peter's conversation gave him away. He denies him two more times. His denial gives him away. And this is what's interesting to me, is he hears the rooster crow a second time. That's when he remembers Jesus. Wiersbe says this, "It was not the crowing of the rooster that convicted Peter. It was the remembering of Christ's words." He heard the rooster crow a second time. And then when he heard it in his heart and his mind, he heard Jesus say, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." In this story, as Peter remembers this, we're also learning how effective and how accurate Jesus is with the future of our lives. Do you trust him with your tomorrows? Do you trust him with the rest of your life? I can't remember the lyric, but there was one lyric in there that says that we trust you even when it seems impossible. And I find that to be the hardest opportunity for us to exercise our faith, when it seems absolutely impossible. I have things in my life that seem absolutely impossible. Do you have things in your life that seem absolutely impossible, that there's no way it would change unless it was God? And I see that as an opportunity for God to show himself faithful to us. So there is no doubt that he did it, that we wouldn't regret it, that we could say, "Yes, there was a time when I thought this wouldn't happen, but look, God brought it to pass." Even when it's against what we want. Even when it's against what we want. Peter remembered what Jesus said. Guys, I can't express enough to know the word of God so well that when sin and temptation are knocking at your door, that the word of God comes in your mind and out of your mouth. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Right? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. When you feel the loneliest, be reminded that God's word says he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. He is always with you. And it's the word of God that we must remember. It's the word of God that we must call back to our minds to help us at our deepest and most difficult times. For too many of us, we rely on other people. We rely on different situations, and we're not relying completely on God. Trusting in him completely. The second time the rooster crowed, it says Peter wept. His heart broke, not because he denied him, but because he knows he denied him, and it was exactly as Jesus said. His heart broke because he was so sorry. And do you know what that means? That's repentance. It's being so sorry for a mistake that you made. Peter wept in repentance. Peter wept because he did what he thought he would never do. And I think that's a warning for all of us here this morning. When you think you won't do something, you think you're protected, be careful. The enemy will use that. Yeah, you know all the things the enemy normally uses, but if you feel like, hey, I've got this area of my life down pat, trust me, the enemy's going to chip away at that one. Because when you're overconfident, that's when the enemy comes in. That's when the enemy starts coming. Oh, you think you've got a good prayer life? Okay. What happens if I do this in your life? What happens if I allow this in your life? Are you still going to pray? It's so hard to see someone that is so faithful in prayer for other people find themselves so weak in prayer for themselves. Whew. I guess it's because we know ourselves too good, right? We know ourselves too well. I can have a lot of faith in you because I don't see everything. I don't know everything. But God does. It says in Luke, and this to me, I would have loved to be there for this. It says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter after he denied the third time and the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. The look of Christ and him knowing that the rooster crowed twice and that he had denied three times brings him to a place of brokenness. Guys, it is in our deepest and darkest situations when we can look to the Lord face to face and know that he sees everything better than we see it ourselves, that we come to a place of, Lord, I am undone. I am incapable of changing the situation. Only you can bring forgiveness to me. Only you, Lord. And that, I think that look that Jesus gave him was a look of forgiveness and mercy and grace. Because listen, it says in Luke, and the Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. So Jesus knew that the enemy was going to mess with Peter. Jesus knew, say, Peter, Satan has asked for you by name. I don't ever want to be asked by name about Satan. But he knew this. So Jesus knew his condition. He knew what he was going to do. And then he goes on. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Whew. Yeah, Peter remembered what Jesus said about the rooster crowing and him denying three times. But Peter needed to remember, I know you're going to do this, Peter. I'm telling you, you're going to do it. But when you return to me, whew. So there was, not only did Jesus know he was going to do it, he knew Peter was not going to abandon him. Unlike Judas, right? Who denied the Lord and betrayed the Lord, and he abandoned him. He left him. There's such a contrast between Judas and Peter. And it's a message for all of us that when we mess up and when we make a mistake, go back to God. His grace is there. His forgiveness is there. It never changes. I'm very thankful that I don't walk up to God and go, God, I messed up. He goes, I gave you too many options, too many chances. You used your last one. No. Every single time we come to him, forgiveness is there. It's that unconditional love because there is nothing that you can do. There's no sin you can commit. There's nothing that you can mess up enough for God not to have enough grace to cover it up. So grateful for that. We don't stand before a judge going, man, unless you got a good case. No, we got a great case. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. And then he says, when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Guys, whatever it is that's going on in your life that you're having to rely on God for, the impossible thing, God's going to use that in the life of someone else. And that's what Peter is to me and probably to you too. It's a reminder that we can mess up really bad and his forgiveness is there. Don't spend a second separated from God. You got to come right back to him. Yeah, you want to take it back, but here's the thing. You may not be able to take it back, but you can take it to Jesus. You can take whatever it is and say, Lord, can you fix this? And he's faithful to do that. He's faithful to do that. Peter will repent. When we turn, we must turn to Jesus. Now, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. This real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, this is Peter after Jesus is risen. Sharp contrast. Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. Peter's writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter is living evidence of the hope that is beyond the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Verse 5, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And that verse 5, "Who are kept by the power of God." Peter experienced himself the keeping, the holding power of Jesus in his life. Right? After Jesus rose again, boys are out fishing, right? And then Jesus asked Peter, he says, "Simon, Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Remember, Jesus asked Simon, "Do you love me?" Three times. Three times Peter said, "You know I love you, you know everything." And he tells Peter, says, "If you love me, feed my sheep. If you really love me, pour into somebody else." Guys, I pray that we have the opportunities that God gives us to pour into other people. God wanted Peter to experience true forgiveness so that when Peter ministered to someone else, he can say, "I've been where you've been. I'm at the place, I've been in the place that you're at, but I know the forgiveness of God." I remember many times early in my ministry, or this one time early in my ministry, I sat down with a man who was contemplating a divorce. And I said, "Dude, you do not want to do this. You do not want to commit this sin." And he looked at me straight and he goes, "You have no idea what I'm going through because you've never been divorced." And I'm like, "Well, you're right. But I've been forgiven much by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that forgiveness is available to you as well, if you be obedient." And it's just amazing to me that people look, "Well, you don't understand because you haven't gone through it. You don't understand what I'm going through because you're not single. You don't understand what I'm going through because you're not married. You don't understand because you don't have kids." Listen, sin is sin. And forgiveness is forgiveness. It is our job to walk worthy of the call that God has upon our lives. Guys, I believe God wants to use you this week in such a powerful way. I think he wants you to, you know, feed his sheep. He wants you to go out there and bless someone else. But you've got to get the blinders off of self. It's this time of year that just selfishness is everywhere, right? I mean, certainly we want to be giving to others. But I'll admit it. When Christmas time comes, I'm like, "Man, I want some good stuff." Just putting it out there. Just kidding. But I do. You get in that mentality. Yes, it's so great to give. I'm a terrible gift giver. So tell me what you want. Hey, I'll admit it. I am a terrible gift giver. But the reality is, at the end of our lives, when we look back, all the stuff we got that we didn't want, we have to take back anyway. But we don't want to take back an opportunity that God gave us to encourage another believer that God has something greater for them. We don't want to miss that opportunity. And Peter is that great example. Yes, he denied the Lord three times. Listen, Peter rebuked the Lord of all things. Peter cut off an ear of a soldier, but Peter was also the one that said, "I want to walk on water. I want to be that one. Call me out, Lord." So we might look at Peter and go, "Shame on you, Peter." But at least Peter was there. And you know, I think it's in Luke's gospel, it says that John was there too. John was there too. We don't know anything about what he did, what he said, how he acted. All we know about John is that he went to the door and said, "Hey, let Peter in. He's a friend of mine." But here we got the recording of Peter denying three times. I don't know what John did, but I know Peter's denial ministers to my heart. Ministers the forgiveness that God has for me when I mess up. And I need to hear that, and you need to hear that. Because we're going to mess up. It's just part of life, isn't it? We're going to mess up. But what do we do after we mess up? Do we come running back to God? Boy, I sure hope so. Because you're going to regret it if you don't. There's no reason to carry that burden. There's no reason to carry that weight. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you're carrying a heavy burden, if you're carrying a heavy weight, you're carrying the wrong weight. You're carrying the wrong yoke. Get rid of it. Give it to Christ. Let him put on you what he wants for you. Because I believe there's great opportunities for us. Every single one of us in this room knows somebody that needs to hear about the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. There's people that are living in misery because they just think their life is such a shambles and such a wreck that there's no hope for them. We know different. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. And I am very thankful for that. Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. How grateful we are that in the Word of God is written a story about Peter, who, yes, denied you three times, but you knew he would. It is a reminder to all of us, Lord, that you know what we're going to do this week. You know what we're not going to do this week. And yet you love us anyway. God, I pray for all of us, Lord, to have eyes open, ears attentive to the opportunities and the people around us, especially this time of year. For those who may seem all alone and all by themselves, for those who may feel isolated this time of year, or maybe just overwhelmed with the holiday season and all the money and all the different things that go along with this time of year. And I pray that we would find rest, God, that we would be generous, that we would be givers, because we've received so much. And may we continue to be thankful that you send your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. That whoever puts their faith and trust in him will be saved. And I pray for anyone in this room who has not made that commitment to Christ, who has not surrendered their life, who have not looked at their lives and said, I'd like to take it back, and just realize that they can give it to you and you will change it. You will restore. You will encourage. And you will walk with those who love you. If there's anyone here, I pray that they would pray that prayer to receive you in their hearts and to know that they know that they know that they are saved because of what you've done. And from this day forward, they will walk with you. And I pray that for all of us, Lord, that we would walk with you every single day. To you be the glory and praise. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.